I'd like to welcome A.J. Foyt, 1972 Daytona 500 champion. He was visiting today here at Daytona National Speedway and attending the 61st running of the Daytona 500. Of course, A.J. won the Great American Race in 1972. Two-time overall champion of the Rolex 24 with wins in 1983 and 1985. Holds the distinction of leading the first lap in the inaugural Rolex 24 back in 1962, then known as the Daytona Continental, and the only race car driver to win the Indianapolis 500, the Daytona 500, the Rolex 24, and the 24 Hours of Le Mans. AJ, it's great to have you back today. Why does being a Daytona 500 champion so special to you and coming back today to see this race again?
Well, hell, it's nice to be back instead of the funeral home. I've been, you know, pretty sick the last two or three years, so I've been able to get healed up and get back here because I've got a lot of friends back here. I really enjoyed racing, and especially back here in Daytona. It's always been a love for me here, and like I said, I wasn't supposed to live over 22, and hell, turned 84, so that's getting pretty damn old.
Thank you, AJ. It's great to have you here. We'll have wireless mics. We'll start with Bruce.
Bruce Martin with Auto Week. You won the Daytona 500 with the Wood Brothers. This is the first Daytona 500 without Glenn Wood since he passed away a couple of weeks ago. You know, what do you remember about Glenn, and especially that day, what he did to build you that car that just blew away the field?
Well, actually, I couldn't have drove for better people than the Wood Brothers. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize they were the first ones down here years ago, started all the fast pit stops. Jimmy Clark won the Indy 500, and Ford Motor Company had them to go up there to pit Jimmy Clark on the fast pit stops. So there's a lot of things the Wood Brothers started that a lot of people have finally caught up with, but they were the first ones ever had real fast pit stops, and now everybody works on fast pit stops.
What do you remember about Glenn?
About who? Glenn Woods?
Yeah, what do you remember about him?
Well, what I really remember about him, I can tell it since he's gone. When I was driving for him, I didn't care if it was Atlanta, California, or what. If I got a little bit behind, he'd be standing up and he'd say, like, no radio there, like, pick it up a little bit, AJ. I'll never forget that. And then I think one of the highlights when I was leading Ontario 500 for him, I had a very bad vibration coming in the car. I said, I must have had a tire or something that's got out of balance. I said, I'm going to have to make a pit stop. I said, shaking. He said, AJ, it's paying $150 a lap money. I said, the vibration just went away, and we went on and won the race. Yeah, you couldn't have had nicer people than Glenn and Leonard because we come very close, and I'm still real close with them. I went and seen them yesterday when I got here. And I've had a lot of good friends through the years, and most of them are dead, and I'm still here. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Go to Lee.
Lee Spencer, RacingPoise.com. AJ, how have you seen the evolution of the driver change since the day when you guys were up here, you know, mixing it up? I mean, you guys seemed a lot more like, you know, cowboys and badasses than what we see behind the wheel today.
I guess I didn't get all the questions. You just want to know. Are you talking about when I come here with all the people?
No, I'm talking about
back with the mic.
Oh, against the IndyCar drivers compared to NASCAR?
Well, no, just drivers in general. How have you seen
today?
Yes, how have you seen drivers, you know, the complexion of drivers change?
Back when I was running, I think you had like Junior Johnson and all the great guys. They were hard to deal with. I don't think you see that today's time. And, you know, you got one of them mad, normally when you got out of the car, you had a nice little fist fight. You don't see that no more. The only thing I can say about racing and NASCAR are the IndyCar races, and I think that's the reason you have so many young drivers, because a lot of people put a lot of money behind them. They can have a real bad wreck, and they walk away. They've made such a safety problem. I mean, so much safety more in the NASCAR and IndyCars, you can't believe it. I'd say that's the biggest thing that's happened in racing, is a safety point. I'd say the cars are probably 1,000% safer today than they were when, like, Junior Johnson and Fireball Roberts and all them, because you're going to have a certain amount of people that's going to get killed in racing, regardless of what it is, but you don't see it like you used to, and that's a good thing.
Okay, we'll go to Jenna.
AJ, Jenna Fryer, AP. Fernando Alonso was here last month. He won the Rolex. And after, he said he wants to do something unprecedented in motorsports. Andrew just listed, you're the only guy that's won pretty much everything. What would be considered unprecedented in motorsports?
You know, the stock cars what made me hard to hear. And I didn't really hear your question quite right. And so maybe if you could ask it again, I'll be glad a little louder.
When Fernando Alonso won the Rolex last month,
right,
he said he wants to do something unprecedented in motorsports, which is sort of what you did by winning everything. So what would be unprecedented in motorsports today?
I really couldn't answer that the proper way, I don't think.
Okay. Nate?
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. AJ, you've won four Indianapolis 500s. You've been to that race countless times.
Right.
You've won the Daytona 500, and you've been to a few of these as well. How would you compare the Indy 500 and the Daytona 500, both in terms of driving and both at the scene, you know, what it's out like walking around today?
Well, actually, it's two different types of race cars, to be truthful with you. A stock car, my daddy used to get mad at because you call them taxi cabs. Well, I call them race cars. So, actually, the Indy cars, they're a lot quicker, and what I mean by that on steering and all that. And it's just two different race cars. I know a lot of friends of mine tried to adapt from one to the other, never could. And I guess where I was lucky that I think you're born with something like that, that you can adapt yourself. And it didn't make no difference, sports cars or whatever. I was able to adapt myself pretty quick. So it's hard for me to tell you the difference. I just know the difference on a stock car is a lot bigger car than a little Indy car, you know, handling. So they really... two different types of race cars, and you have to adapt yourself to do that. And fortunate enough, I was lucky enough I could do that.
We're going to go on the back right there, and then we're going to come up front.
John Douglas, Race Pro Weekly. AJ, over here. AJ, you've seen a lot of evolution in this sport over, you know, the course of your career and after your retirement. What keeps the passion going for AJ in this industry and in racing?
That's really hard to answer. It's, you know, so many great things, and it's just hard to answer.
Okay, we're going to go over here to Hill.
Over here to your far right, AJ.
Yeah.
Hill Overton, WNDB Radio here in the building. I say the year-old-plus guys have got to stick together and stand up for our generation. We know that you've been the guy that's driven the wheels off of anything you've attempted that's got four wheels. Of all the cars you've driven, the types of cars, what would be your favorite?
That's hard to answer, too.
Well, I know you excelled at Indy cars for the longest, but...
Well, yeah, I tell you what, really, in my racing career, out of all the cars I drove, I probably had as much fun on a half-mile dirt track in a sprint car as anything, to be truthful with you, because you control it with your foot and all that, and you had a lot of power. So I would say out of my whole career, that was the most fun.
Okay, right here.
Oh, yeah, AJ. Luis Torres, Motorsports Tribune. Give us a quick intake. How do you feel about your IndyCar program going into 2019 and, of course, retaining Tony Kanaan and Matthias Laist?
Repeat that again, I'm sorry.
Going into 2019, as far as the IndyCar is concerned, you feel like this coming season, keeping Kanaan and Matthias Laist will be an improvement? How do you feel about the car as a whole compared to couple of decades ago when Kenny was driving it, when he won Indy in 99?
Yeah. Well, kids start so much younger today than they ever did, so... I really couldn't answer. It's probably the answer you want, so I'd rather take the fifth.
Okay, we're going to wrap things up. AJ, thank you for coming in, and enjoy the rest of your day at the Daytona 500.
Well, I know my IndyCar program. My son runs it. Well, you're talking about the IndyCar program, you should tell me. Actually, Larry, my son, is mainly running it. I go in when they need money and raise hell, but that's it.
Thank you, AJ. That's a great way to end it.
Okay, all right. Sorry, I hate hearing aids because all I do when you go take a leak or something, it sounds like a 100 gallons of water running, and so that's the reason I don't like to wear them. I do have them.